So I'll be ordained a priest in 3 weeks, and before that happens, I wanted to make sure I came back here and said thank you. I've only was with you for a few weeks during the summer a couple years ago, but those few weeks were very instrumental in my own formation as a future priest. First of all, it was the first parish I was assigned to do like full active ministry. Most of the time before that, I was kind of doing the maintenance work. I was cutting lawn and painting walls at the school, at parishes, but this was the first parish where I could get my hands dirty with the stuff that I was going to do for the rest of my life. And so that was very impactful for me. The second was that I experienced what many priests go through, is that you get planted in a community, you learn to give of yourself and love the people, and then you get plucked up and rooted somewhere else. And that was difficult for me in my own heart, and that was just a beautiful experience to go through in preparation for my priesthood. So long story short, I'm just here to say thank you, but I suppose you should probably hear a homily as well, right? So in this period between Easter and Pentecost that we're in right now, every Sunday we hear from the same two books of the Bible. We hear from the book of the Acts of the Apostles and the book of Revelation. Now, why is this? It's because these two books speak into how the resurrection of Jesus at Easter and the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost affects our lives. So starting with the Acts of the Apostles, this book demonstrates the power of the resurrection and of the Holy Spirit. Because what are the apostles doing? They're going around preaching the message that Christ has been raised from the dead. And they're doing this in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the message itself has power. The message that we were created by God out of love, and because of his love for us, after we had separated ourselves from him through our sin, God became man, died for us, rose from the dead on the third day, so that we could live forever in heaven with him. So that's the kerygma, that's the gospel, that's the good news. That's the light that has the power to enter into the darkness of our own sin and say, there is hope. There is hope because sin and death no longer have power over us. The resurrection of Jesus destroyed the power of sin and death. And this message that the apostles preached, and this message has power. And they preached this message in the power they received at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. It was the Holy Spirit who empowered them to proclaim that message in a way that could reach people's hearts. So the message has power, and the Holy Spirit has power. That's what the book of the Acts of the Apostles teaches us. And it's that same message that the church has proclaimed in the same power of the Holy Spirit for the past 2,000 years. And guess what? It's our turn. It's the same message and the same power of the Holy Spirit that you and I are able to preach and proclaim to those who we live with, our friends, our families, our coworkers, and the people we meet on the street, everyone. Because everyone deserves the hope that comes from knowing that Jesus died and rose for them. Everyone deserves the peace that Jesus promises. Everyone deserves not to be afraid because of what Christ has done on the cross. But if we, who know this message, don't share it with them, that's on us. It's us who are preventing them from living in the hope and the peace that Christ wants for them. So by giving us these readings from the Acts of the Apostles between Easter and Pentecost, the church is saying to us, you just celebrated Easter, so you know the message. Now prepare to receive the Holy Spirit anew this Pentecost, so that you can proclaim the message to the ends of the earth as Jesus commanded us all to do. So that's why we read the Acts of the Apostles during this time. Now regarding the book of Revelation, this book does a great job of reminding us of like the goal, or the end, what we're striving for. It reminds us of what has been won for us by Christ's resurrection and what the Holy Spirit is guiding us towards as we continue on our earthly pilgrimage. And that's why we read it now between Easter and Pentecost, because the resurrection unlocked heaven for us and the Holy Spirit is who guides us there. And in the book of Revelation, there's all this beautiful imagery of heaven and the angels and saints and the heavenly Jerusalem that has the glory of God that we hear about in our reading today. And all of that is what we were made for. We were made to spend the rest of eternity with God in heaven, beholding his glory with the angels, united with the saints who have gone before us. Now, I admit, I forget this sometimes. I can be so focused on what's right in front of me that I lose sight of the bigger picture. I can be so caught up with my own problems in daily life that I forget that I'm made for eternity. But when I remember this, or when I call it to mind, it brings so much peace. The most recent example I can think of is last week when I was on pilgrimage in Europe with a friend of mine. And overall, it was a really beautiful pilgrimage. We visited Fatima and Lourdes and prayed with the tombs of a lot of saints. But you know how whenever you go on a trip, there's always one day that kind of sucks. It's like when everything seems to go wrong. And well, we had one of those days. We were driving 7 hours in this rental car across France, and it was raining. There was stop and go traffic on the highways. I hadn't been sleeping well, so I was tired, and so it was off to a bad start in the day. And we were winding our way through a French city with one-way cobblestone roads that have no business housing automobiles on them in the first place. But anyway, I'm making my next turn in this labyrinth, and I hear metal grinding against concrete. It's not a great sound. And it turns out there was this small cement pillar that was short enough not to be seen out of the window, but tall enough to do damage to a car. And so anyway, the side of the rental car is all scratched up, but we were still able to drive it, and we were driving away towards our destination. And as we're continuing this trip, I'm kind of brooding over this, right? I'm kicking myself for not seeing it in the first place and worried about how big this repair bill is going to be. But then I remember, Jesus died and rose from my sins, and I'm called to eternal life with him. When that reality sets in, everything else just washed away. Everything else is so small compared to that reality. And this deepest peace sets in when we live in the reality of Christ, what Christ has done for us and what we are called to. And I have to imagine that's the peace that allowed the martyrs to endure what they suffered. And that's the peace that Jesus promises us in our gospel today. He says to us, and as he said to his disciples, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." And he says, "Not as the world gives, do I give it to you." The world advertises peace, but it's fleeting and superficial. But the peace that Jesus offers us is different. It's deep, it's enduring and true. It's able to penetrate any situation we find ourselves in. And Jesus offers us this peace at every Mass, when the priest says those same words to us, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." And we can call upon this peace when things don't feel all that peaceful. So that's my encouragement to all of us today. During this Mass, ask Jesus for the peace to come in whatever situation you are in. And looking into the future, prepare to receive the Holy Spirit anew this Pentecost, just as the apostles did, so that we can all share the message that Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead to all those who need to hear it.
Together, let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible.